Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Bill Wagner. Bill is a Microsoft senior content developer. He develops materials for developers learning the .NET platform. And for today's purposes, most important, he's the president and on the board of directors of the HT Toolbox. Bill, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, Jesse. How are you doing?
I am doing good, and I'm glad to have you here. And I think the first obvious question is, what is the HT Toolbox?
All right, so Humanitarian Toolbox is a charity that we founded about 2 or 3 years ago now. And we is Richard Campbell, who most of your listeners are probably familiar with, myself, Tony Surma, who is in Microsoft, or has at the time, quite a bit of experience with Microsoft Disaster Relief, and Mari Sessions, who does a lot of work both with the Microsoft ecosystem and in disaster relief spaces in and around Washington, and Pascal Schubach, who was the disaster relief coordinator for the University of Washington. And what our purpose is to build open source software that aids in disaster response and disaster preparedness.
Okay, well, can't think of anything that's much more important than that, but maybe you could tell me a little bit about how it goes about doing that.
Right. So part of what I wanted to introduce with the board is we have a mix of people who've built software and people who have a lot of experience in disaster relief. So we work with organizations such as the American Red Cross, through them the International Red Cross, FEMA, the UN, and others that are active in disaster response and disaster preparedness. And we work with them in terms of defining what applications would help them be more productive, what would help them save more lives and do more good. And then we work with the global community of developers to create those applications. And we have people from those organizations watching our GitHub repositories for questions from developers, clarifications on requirements, looking at ideas from developers that might be good features, and so on. So a lot of what we do as an organization is connect these disaster relief orgs that have needs with the global community of software developers that would like to use their skills in a positive way to help people.
So this is an entirely open source project.
Yes. If you go to github.com/htbox, you will see a list of all our current projects. All of them are open source. I believe we settled with the MIT license, although you can check each repo and see what's there. So any organization can take any of the applications and use them for whatever they need. We as HTBox, with some generous donations from Microsoft, host those applications on Azure for disaster relief organizations. So we provide a lot of the DevOps and hosting. So, you know, your local Red Cross doesn't have to figure out how to deploy an ASP.NET web app in Azure. You know, we take care of that for them. And then our developers work anywhere around the world, look at the issues and tasks that are on the repository. We work and we have project leads that help us keep track of milestones and what are the most important issues to work on. And people just keep plugging away and keep adding features. And we're making quite a bit of progress.
And how many people would you say are making regular contributions or participating in an ongoing way?
Right. I would say if I look across all the applications, we probably have 40 to 50 developers making a contribution at least once a week. You know, there's some really dedicated people that might get 5 or 6 pull requests done in a week. And, you know, some other people that when they have some time, knock off a task or two, and then they may, you know, daily life and everything else interrupts them for a while, and then they'll be back in a month or two and do some more. And we appreciate all of that.
And when there are pull requests, who is making that decision as to what gets integrated and so forth?
So right now, Tony and I do most of them. And on the Already project, we've got a couple of other MVPs, James Chambers and Dave Paquette, who now have commit privileges and are also reviewing and marking the PRs and merging them as well. We're actively looking for someone outside of the board to help us with that on Crisis Check-In, which is one of our other applications. Another one that we're working with Rocky Lotka on is the Missing Kids app. And Rocky and a few of the people he works with have commit privileges there and are doing a lot of the pull request review and merging on that repository.
You've mentioned a couple of projects. Maybe we could walk through some of your projects and briefly what they are and who they're targeted at.
I want to finish one more statement on the PRs. Sure. First, and then let's do that. The other thing that we're doing is anyone can review a PR. they just aren't allowed to merge. So we're encouraging anyone that's working on any of the projects to go ahead and help us review code. And, you know, those are the people that we're going to look for to give commit privileges and ask us, you know, ask them to help us run the project. So, you know, step up and do everything you can if you want that role, and then we'll keep talking to you. The three projects we're really working on right now, one is Crisis Check-In, which was the one we were working on at the New England Codeathon that James Sturtevant helped to set up a couple weeks ago. So what that application is think of it as kind of Foursquare for disaster relief with a lot more features that we're adding. So if you think about a disaster, you've got different people that come in from, say, Doctors Without Borders, Army Corps of Engineers, and retired Army Corps of Engineers who have different skill sets. And there are people that manage the volunteers with those different skill sets, whether that be doctors or civil engineers who can, you know, get water and sanitation working again, electrical and other infrastructure workers to get electricity working, get phone lines working, and so on. And there are people coordinating those. Crisis Check-In helps connect the coordinators with the volunteers. Volunteers check in, they check out if they go home or if they, you know, aren't working on a given day, and the coordinators know who's on site. The other thing we're adding to that application now is the idea of checking in resources. So you can check in, like if you're the local electric company, you can check in 5 bucket trucks. If you're the local Red Cross, you can check in 200 blankets or, you know, 200 meals. If you're the local hospital, you can check in, you know, 10,000 first aid kits, you know, whatever it happens to be. And then the people managing the site know what equipment and what supplies are available, as well as what people are available.
Okay, so I can see how that would be extremely helpful in emergencies like Katrina or Haiti and any number of emergencies.
Right, and that's some of the history of this. The idea was first proposed by Andre Verity, who was with the UN Office of the Consulate of Humanitarian Affairs. And it was after Haiti that he proposed this. It's also then since been picked up by an organization in the United States called NVOAD, which is National Volunteer Organizations Aiding in Disasters. And they have a project now called Project Dragonfire. And that came out after Hurricane Sandy. You know, this hurricane that hit the Northeast, the area really wasn't as experienced as some other coastlines are in hurricane response. And Crisis Check-In is now being used in training exercises and validation exercises and trials to see if it would help in a situation like that when one happens again. So we're working with them on those particular issues, and that's where the different feature requests are coming from, is those organizations.
That sounds extraordinary. What are some of the other projects that you're working on?
Okay, the next application is Already, which is a preparedness application. So this one was first proposed to us through people in the Chicago area Red Cross, and the mission of this is to help run preparedness campaigns. And the first pilot is one working with installing smoke detectors. So in the Chicago area, and basically anywhere, we know that having working smoke detectors save lives. So what we want to do is we want to run a campaign to get different volunteer organizations like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Kiwanis, you know, whoever, to go door to door and see if people have smoke detectors, see if their smoke detectors are working. You know, like maybe it's an elderly person who doesn't want to get on a ladder and change the battery. So the battery's been sitting there dead for 5 years, right? And yes. Working with other organizations like the local volunteer fire departments or local hardware stores or what have you, who will install smoke detectors for people that don't have them, and other organizations that will donate the actual smoke detectors, or stores or businesses that will donate the smoke detector. And Already sets things up so that you can define what you want for the campaign. So I want to hit every single residential address in this zip code, set a month of here's when people are going to go door to door to do that. Here's when people are going to go ahead and be available to do the installations and so on. Manage the campaign and see how successful it was. Then manage things like how many smoke detectors were installed, how many people already had them, and then keep track of data that says, okay, after we made this change, now what happens with fire statistics in the next year afterward, and map those two together.
So you're not only helping in terms of preparedness, but you're putting in metrics to see whether this is making a difference.
That feature hasn't been completely developed yet. We're working on just managing the preparedness, and then we intend to add those features after a few more pilots.
Okay, so that's two projects. Do you have any others?
The Missing Children's application, which is one that Rocky Lotka is spearheading up in Minnesota. He works with a charity through his wife, Missing Children of Minnesota. And the idea behind this application is if for any reason your child goes missing, there's all this data that police and other authorities would need or want to help find them. You know, what is their height and weight? What are recent pictures? Who are their friends? Where did you last see them? You know, any other things that would help make that identification quick. And that same application then has uses in a post-disaster scenario where people are missing. How do you find your loved ones? So the idea behind this application is a parent or relative can store information about their children, or if we once we expand it for other disaster preparedness, any relatives, any loved ones, and so on, store it on their phone. And then if something happens, you probably have that information right at your fingertips when you need it. You know, we all have that information, you know, how tall is our children, you know, their driver's license number, their social security card, whatever, all of those things, we have it, but it's all dispersed somewhere. And in a disaster, or even in just any kind of a panic situation, you don't want to take the time to try to look for, you know, where did I store this? Where are recent pictures and so on? You just have them on your phone, which you probably have with you, and then you can work with the authorities immediately.
But I note that the information that you're talking about for the children is on the individual's own phone and only becomes available to the authorities as needed.
Correct. And at the moment, the current design does not even push any of that information into the cloud. It's only on the phone.
Now, in an emergency, how do they get it off the phone and into the hands of, say, the police or other authorities?
At that point, you know, it's still the same old thing of either putting it on paper, right? You have some of it written mm-hmm. down on your phone, or you can email the pictures from the phone to the authorities or so on.
I see. Okay. Right. So there's no corresponding device or software that the police would have, for example.
Not at this time, no. And we're definitely concerned about that kind of feature.
Sure. It's interesting that a number of your answers is not at this time. So that implies to me that this is not the end point of your work, but really, in some ways, the beginning with lots of potential for expansion.
You know, I think that's true for any of the applications. And, you know, for any of your listeners, mostly professional software developers, you know, our biggest thrill so far was after our first pilot, and what we got back from the Red Cross was a whole list of feature requests, right? Because that means they used it and they came up with all kinds of ideas of what they wanted to do with it.
Yes.
Right? It wasn't just, okay, yeah, this works, which means I kind of used it, but I'm probably going to stick with what I'm doing anyway, right? So seeing that they're actively engaged with it and giving us all kinds of ideas of things we can add to the applications or things that may be new applications, that means we're really filling a need and people are really interested in using what we're building for them.
It sounds like you are in intimate contact with the end users to find out exactly how they're going to use it and what their requirements are.
That's definitely part of our mission. We will not start an app without a customer involved that actually asks for it and will help us define what it is. You know, as I said, our board, particularly Pascal and Tony, and to some extent Mari, have experience in disaster relief, especially Tony and Pascal. So they can help us with a lot of the questions, but we really need information from the people that go out there after a disaster and will tell us exactly what they're using and what they need.
And how long has this project been in existence?
We started this somewhere in, I want to say we formed the organization in 2013. I would have to look up the official documents. We got IRS approval as a 501c3 toward the end of 2013, might have been early 2014. And we've been working on applications ever since.
All right, Bill, if people are listening and they're excited about what you're saying, how can they get involved? What's the best way for them to start?
Okay, if they start at any of our repositories, and it's github.com/htbox, or you can start on our main website, just htbox.org, and there will be a link to our GitHub homepage, and see which one of the projects interests you, both on what technologies you'll get to play with, what the use cases are, and so on. Of the applications that I mentioned, Crisis Check-In is built using ASP.NET MVC Entity Framework and has Xamarin front-ends that are quite a bit newer and not as far developed, so we could use quite a bit of work on the mobile applications there. And by saying ASP.NET MVC, I mean the non-core version, the ASP.NET MVC 4.5, I think is the current number,
5.0.
So that's that application. The Already application, which was started in a sprint at Microsoft when they wanted to do show people what you could do with ASP.NET Core, is built on top of ASP.NET Core. And that particular one started on, I think, beta 4. We're currently on RC2, and there's an open task right now that may be completed by the time this goes live to convert it to the RTM bits for ASP.NET Core and Entity Framework 1.0 Core, or Entity Framework Core 1.0. So that's a chance to really play with some of the latest and greatest technologies. There are also Apache Cordova mobile applications for that app that are lagging behind the web experience. And if people are interested in working with Apache Cordova, that would be a place to work with there. The mobile children's app is also an Azure backend. I believe it's ASP.NET MVC. And the front end started as Apache Cordova, and I think they've been migrating to Xamarin. So that's a very interesting case study if you want to compare both Apache Cordova and the Xamarin experience. You'd have to check the repo to see if both are still actively being developed right now or if they've settled on which one. So that's those are the three main applications. And look for any of the issues that would be tagged jump in. And those would be ones that if you're not necessarily familiar with the code yet, it's a good way just to start, get some experience, feel your way around the process and who we are and what the applications do. And then, you know, if you enjoy the experience, dive in and take on one of the larger feature requests and feel free to help us out.
Great. And let me ask you about level of expertise. Is this a project that folks who are relatively new to programming could get involved with, or are you looking for people who have a substantial amount of experience?
That really depends on the issue. If you're new to programming, a lot of the jump-in issues might be good ones for you to look at. You know, I wouldn't take on a whole new feature request that says, you know, we need to reorganize part of the database, build some middleware, add some web API calls, and put in a Xamarin front end. That might not be a beginner task, but there are a lot of others that would be good beginner tasks that are labeled with the jump in label. We're also looking for people that aren't necessarily programmers. The repos will tell you where our staging sites are. And if you want to just create an account, log in and play and help us find bugs or find issues or usability concerns, go ahead and make an account, play on the staging site, and tell us, give us feedback if you have ideas on how to make the apps better. The presentations right now are the kind of graphic user experience that only a programmer can love. So if you have design skills and graphic skills, we would really appreciate your help on the projects as well. So there are a lot of different ways. And I think so far, any of our volunteers have really tried to pick issues that will help the project succeed and will fit their level of expertise. You know, we haven't had anybody dive in way, way above their head. And we found people who have more experience are trying to tackle some of the larger and harder issues. So I think it's been really a good experience for that with the community.
What about funding? Is there a need for people to write a check?
We would absolutely appreciate that. And if you go to htbox.org, there will be a donate now link through PayPal, and you can donate to Humanitarian Toolbox. And what we use a lot of that money for is hosting in-person events where people can come together, spend a weekend writing some code, and you know, really kind of sprint on the project a little bit, like the one we just had in New England, where we'll fund, you know, dinner, breakfast, lunch. Right now, we don't quite have the money to fund space, so we usually look for a local donor to provide some space. But that's a good way to get the community together. If you're interested in that, if you're one of the community leaders in, you know, your location, please ping us, you know, bill.wagner@htbox.org, and we'll help work with you, set a date, we'll pick some things for a sprint, set up a task board and milestones for one of the projects, and help you run the event. We've got a link on our website on our checklist to run through. And any of those are also great things that help move us forward.
Great. And we'll put some of those links onto the show page so that people have a way in for many of the topics that you discussed.
That would be fantastic.
Bill, I can't thank you enough. This is important work you're doing. And I think everybody in the community recognizes that. And I think with luck, a lot of people will begin participating and contributing.
You know, I hope so. And I really want to thank all the people and organizations that have really helped us grow to where we are now. You know, we've got a great board. We've got great community volunteers, people like James Chambers, Dave Paquette, Brian Runk on Crisis Check-In, that have really stepped forward and helped us move these applications forward. You know, Rocky Lotka really just owns the mobile kids app. The support from Microsoft, both in terms of different people who've helped us by contributing code, donating Azure hours for us to run these applications. You know, we would not be where we are without a lot of the support we've had from global community members. You know, we've had commits from people in England, mainland Europe, all throughout North America, Central America. I think we've had a couple from Asia. You know, we're looking to continue to expand that and continue to be a global organization that really helps.